Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, May 8th. I'm joined once again by the beautiful Lauren Leonelli. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Oh, thanks for having me
back. Of course. How are you? Well, you got to call them the way you see them, you know. I think you're gorgeous.
Well,
and,
it's so early in the morning, he's already flattering me.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's better than bitching to you, right?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now when I get introduced, I'm going to feel really like self-conscious. They're like, this chick Lauren's here today?
Right.
Exactly. You've, like, one-upped them all already.
There you go.
I'll take it. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
But Lauren has been on the show before, and she was co-hosting with me yesterday. Jen is out until Tuesday.
That's right.
Have you spoken to her at all?
All the time.
And she has time to talk to you, actually?
She does.
She said she's so busy.
She is busy. Her mom, like, made this big hullabaloo that she was coming. And so Jen was calling it yesterday. She's like, I'm going to the pool right now, and then I'm going back to home, getting ready, and then my mom's having my parade.
A parade?
She called it a parade. It's like everyone was coming over. And then a couple days ago, Jen was on the phone with her mom, and I just heard, you don't have to... Mom, okay, it's only been a year and a half. Okay, but you don't have to get a cake. Mom, it's not a birthday. Like, her mom's, like, making it this thing. And Jan, her mom, is texting me, too. I'm texting her mom. They're sending me pictures of Jen and the dog. It's like I'm there. I might as well be there right now.
Yeah.
I wish I was there. I want to go. I've only been to Miami once on a layover.
So you never really experienced the city. Yeah, it's pretty nice, you know. I mean, you go to South Beach and stuff, and there's no place like it. You know?
I would, like, just lay on the beach all day.
Yeah, totally a party town, you know, when you get to that part of Miami.
Yeah.
But, I've been there a couple times. I used to have a friend that lived there, and we had a blast, you know.
I'm sure.
It was just really nice.
When did you go? Like, what?
The season?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Maybe the summer.
And what year was it? Do you remember?
A long time ago.
Was it, like, the 80s when it was, like...
No, it was actually 90s.
I was going to say, like, Miami Vice style.
Yeah. Well, no, that was behind us already, I guess. Mm-hmm. Miami Vice.
I'm just trying to remember, like, there was one Easter... Like, I don't know, I was probably 6 years old, and my dad's a surfer, and he always looks like, for him to put a suit on, it's like never gonna happen.
Yeah.
But this, what, and he's long, like, curly hair that's like dreadlocks because he surfs, and then he gets out of the water and doesn't brush it, so the salt water turns.
What a cool dad, huh?
I mean, if you think that's cool, but this one Easter, he cut his hair. He had short hair, and he put on like khakis and like this pink. Ish shirt, like t-shirt, and then like a white jacket over it. I know my family remembers this photo, and like he didn't even look like himself. He looked like Don Johnson. Like, that's Miami Vice.
Yeah.
That was like my dad. He like went for it in that one photo, and then was like, I'm never again.
Really?
And I've yet to ever see him like that dressed up and cleaned up.
Yeah.
And that was like 1986.
It's so funny because everybody used to wear those leisure suits, the white jackets.
Did you
and
wear
stuff.
Them, Sam?
No, I didn't. Oh, maybe I did. Maybe I did have a white jacket.
I'm
I think.
Sure you
I recall
did.
I did. Because that was the look, you know?
Yeah, how could you,
white.
Like, not jump on the bandwagon? I'm sure you looked fly, Sam.
Yeah, whatever.
And in Miami, too, I'm sure you brought it just for that. Like, the linen, flowy linen outfits with, like, the slip-on shoes.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was at the same time, you know, so I don't think I wore that. I think I wore shorts and t-shirts most of the time there because it's very humid, you know.
Yeah,
you don't want to dress up too much.
I know.
So in a few minutes, we're going to talk to a phone guest who's going to call in and seems very interesting, a photographer.
Yeah.
And, a gorgeous book that he's put together.
Beautiful, beautiful photos.
Beautiful book. Today's Friday. It's actually my birthday weekend, believe it or not. Yeah.
Wait, when's your birthday?
On Sunday, on Mother's Day this week. This year it falls on Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day birthday.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, so that would be cool. So I decided to make it sort of like a weekend.
You have to make it a weekend.
I guess, yeah. So we'll see how that works out. My mom arrives here on Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
My parents are moving moving here.
Wait, from where?
From Israel.
No way.
Yeah, permanently. Because, you know, they're aging and frail, and we didn't want them to stay there alone anymore.
Okay.
So although we have family and stuff there, it's not the same.
It's
you
not
know?
The same.
They need assistance now. They need help. We don't want to throw them in a home or anything. So.
And you have brothers and sisters here, or just other
I have
family?
A brother here. Okay. My other brother is in China, but we definitely both of us can do a lot for them. We brought them here back in January to check it out and see. You see, they had lived here before.
Right.
Long time ago. And then they moved back, and they never really wanted to come back here. And my mom was really resisting. So we brought them here on a little vacation and
Warmed them up to the idea.
Warmed them up a little bit. I mean, my dad wants to come, but my mom was just being very stubborn.
Why do you think your mom...
Everybody said, well, because she's in her element over there,
true.
You know?
Okay.
The language, the culture, the people, everything,
right.
you
I
know?
I understand that.
And there's public transportation there, so you're not, like, isolated.
Right.
Here it's different. It's a
it
different
is.
Lifestyle here.
Yeah.
So, but... You know, and everybody was pressuring her. I have for years been pressuring her. But finally, I guess she just went, they went back after the trip. Mm-hmm. The next day, she's like, I want to get on the next plane back.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what turned her around so
well,
fast.
Because she saw what a great life she can have here with her family.
Yeah.
And there she's got nothing.
That's true.
You know?
Sometimes you just get stuck in like a rut of what you think is like your comfort zone. And when you step out of it, you realize all of those things you were holding on to, it's not that.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
really need those things, you know?
And there are things that are more important. And I told him, I said, you know, just look at it as phases in your life, you know? You've lived there for a while. Now you're going to live in a different place.
And it's not like they've never been here before.
Exactly.
It's not completely foreign.
No, and they speak a little bit of English, you know,
good.
Enough to get around. So, but they're not really going to get around. We have to take them everywhere
of
now.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and I'm telling you, it's at a point where they're starting to become like babies, you know?
I know.
And you have
to
tie...
backwards.
Yeah. It is, and you have to tie their seat belts and everything, and it's just, it's hard to look at, you know?
I'm sure it's hard to, I mean, obviously my mom's not at that point yet. I mean, she's pretty old.
Your mom is young. Her mom's sitting here, by the way, if you guys want to know.
She's in the room.
But you won't say a word to her.
I mean, she's like probably a couple weeks away from breaking a hip. But beyond that.
She's going to kill you.
She's fine. She's not super old. But I watched my grandma get older like that. And it's not an easy thing to do. I don't, you know, it's not. I did see a funny, though, play on your kind of joke about them being babies again. Like, it kind of turned that into like a ha-ha-ha, laugh-at-it funny thing. Because there was a Mother's Day card that I saw, and it said something to the effect of, don't worry, I got you back. I'll change your diapers, too, or something like that. I almost got it for her, but I was like,
I know. You see, and it comes to that point.
It does,
so you
though.
Have to get help, you know.
You do.
And that's another thing in Israel. It's so hard to get help because you have to get it through the state.
Oh.
And you have to go through a whole process where here you just call somebody and they come.
Oh, so it's totally different.
Yeah. Everything there is so bureaucratic, you know, and they haven't figured out how to get out of that, you know.
So it's like you have to go through a system for everything. Here you
exactly.
just call a company and you interview people like a nanny or something like that. And then
right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of women from Thailand and stuff that become like caregivers. But then, you know, you have to get papers for them. And, and it's a whole thing. And
sounds
here
like
they realize,
it's easier here. And then you can monitor it too. You don't want to just be so far away. Because you don't know. I mean, someone's in their home with them, you know.
Exactly. And then you never know when that call's going to come,
I
you know?
Know.
And you go, you know, so what? We're all going to get on a plane and go just because they broke a hip or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
But
yeah, so it's better here. And this is where they'll live the rest of their lives, you know, and
so,
hopefully a long one. But
hopefully. So wait, so your mom's coming on Monday. And
they're coming on Monday.
Staying indefinitely?
Staying,
wow.
forever.
Wow.
Forever. They're not going back.
Do they have, and so they're living near you, they have a place to stay?
We just bought them a house.
Great. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, they sold their house over there, so we were able to buy a house here.
Aww.
And they'll really have fun here because there's people that care about them, you know.
Of course.
And the thing is, I told them, I said, you know, when all the chips are down and you stripped of everything, the only important thing is family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. And best friends that are like family.
Exactly.
You know, but other than that, you can't count on anyone, you know.
I agree.
So, and, you know, as as children with parents, we have to take care of them, you know, because mm-hmm. nobody else is going to.
Of course.
And we owe them that. And anybody that neglects their parents and throws them in a home, to me, it's a sin, really.
Oh, I agree. You know? I agree.
And it is going to be hard. Look, I mean, you know, when I said they're like babies, the problem is they're like big babies. It's yeah. a lot harder because they're big.
They're big you and can't they can actually them. Communicate.
Right.
A baby, it's like, you know, they don't talk and you're like, yeah, you're fine. Just go stop yeah, doing relax. That or just go over there or watch TV or whatever. It's different. They have opinions and they're like strong opinions.
Right.
They're like, I don't think so. And they can fully communicate. And then it's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I know. I know. And my dad has Parkinson's, so you seeing him like disintegrate
yeah,
gradually.
Hard, yeah.
And his head is just fine, you know, and
that's the hard thing about that.
Yeah, you know, because you're conscious of what's
totally.
Happening. And but he says, you know, he says, look, I've gotten 82 years and still some more. He says anything now is a bonus.
That's nice.
You
That's
know?
A good way
yeah.
to look at it.
Exactly. You know, he says every day that I have, he says, I feel like I lived a full life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not afraid. I'm not this and that. And I just feel
good.
That, yeah, whatever I get now is just a little gift, you know.
I like
so,
that. That's a good way to look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah,
yeah. And when you know that, it's nice for you to know
right.
that
it's
he
not
feels
as hard.
That way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as hard. I just, you know, when he does finally go, I'd hate to see my mom. At
well,
that time, you know,
I
mean, I don't like dealing with death, and you know what? Thank God, I never had to deal with a close death.
It's
you know?
It's not easy. Some people deal yeah. with it easier than others. I feel like people who are really uber religious deal with it better than others
mm-hmm.
because there's that like
they have answers.
They feel or
yeah.
they think they do or whatever.
Right.
I don't know what it or whatever it is. I don't know why, but yeah, maybe that's why they have answers or who knows. But I don't like it.
Yeah, I know.
Not a fan.
Well, yeah, I know. Not a fan of death.
No.
But the thing is, though, you know, you
not
got...
Not part of that club. Sorry.
Yeah. You see, my view on life has always been, you know, we get a gift. You know, we mm-hmm. get a few decades to live here. And then we have to give it back. You know, it's
yeah.
a temporary thing. It's not forever.
I know.
So if we take it as death, we're just grateful for what we get.
True.
And then we just move on. Whatever happens, happens. Whether we're worm food or whether we become spirits and our existence continues, it doesn't really matter.
I know.
It really doesn't matter.
I guess I don't like the unknown. That freaks me out.
Exactly. But you won't be around to know. So.
But what if
that's
I
what
am?
Saying.
Or no, I know.
Well, if you are, it's probably a good thing.
But then
I can't imagine
it just turns into nothing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Either it's nothing and we just
and
so you
it.
Don't know anything, right? And or we move on to something that I think is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I think the spiritual world, if there is one, I think is more positive. I don't think
yeah.
there's like negative in it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always like the balancing act. I mean, the reason there's evil because there's good. You know, if
True.
You noticed, we have a bipolar world.
Yeah.
You know, everything in the universe has got like the opposite side to
Has
it.
Has to, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like hot, cold, love,
Otherwise,
hate.
Otherwise, there's not a thing if there's not
the opposite
polar
of it.
Opposite end, yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, so we have to take that and know how to balance these things.
Mm-hmm.
But...
yeah, I always wonder about it. It's like, it's not that I don't believe in it. I don't really know how to focus my belief. I believe
right.
in things after and energy after and life after, but I don't know exactly like where it falls
right.
categorically. I just feel like, and then sometimes I think too, you know, when you meet someone and you're like, why do I feel like I know you? Like, and I'm not saying I believe in a past life. I'm not saying I don't, but I'm like,
right.
if there is a past life,
mm-hmm.
I think I knew you.
Yeah.
Because this is real weird. This happened
yeah.
to me a couple of times. I have like two people I can think of right now, both men. One I feel like I was married to and one I feel like was my brother
yeah.
or something.
You see, oh
so,
no.
Oh, what's that?
That's a fire alarm.
There's a fire alarm happening, just in case you are all hearing that.
Wow.
That beeping noise.
At least
we're
it's
looking
not
at us
very
rushing
loud.
Out. Look at us rushing out so scared.
Yeah, I know. I know. I never run out with these.
There's been some technical difficulties in this building today with
yeah,
the elevator,
with the elevator
the
and stuff. I just hope this is not real. You know,
well,
I mean,
I think we'll know very soon if it's real. But we're going to stay here for the listeners.
Yeah, we'll continue describing to you what is happening.
I think it's fine. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, he says he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh.
It's probably not just our suite. I'm sure it's the
whole
building.
Hopefully we're not trapped in here, but listen, we're doing it for you guys.
Yeah, there you go. And we'll try to shut off this noise. But you know what? It could be irritating for listeners, you know?
It could be.
What are we going to do? Let's just keep talking.
We'll
whatever.
Just keep talking.
If you guys don't
we'll
want to, like.
It out.
Yeah, if you don't want to listen, don't listen.
We'll
understand.
We're going to keep talking, and you guys can either listen to concentrate on our voices or.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the afterlife coming for us, Sam. Oh, no. No.
Oh, no. You're going to bail now, right?
How high up are we?
Here comes the Reaper.
How high up are we, Sam? We're up. We're up like four stories,
we're
guys.
We're up four stories.
We are trapped for you. Here for you.
Yeah, but at any rate, so yeah, I mean, you know, so we come here, but we were talking about the spiritual world and stuff. And the thing is, though, I got to tell you, I mean, your theory makes sense, you know, but I don't think it works that way because.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, you see somebody and you recognize them? Because in a previous life, you wouldn't really know each other in the same way. We're different people.
Right. And it's not that I see what you're saying, but maybe I didn't explain myself. It's not that I think that I'm like.
You know what? Let me cut you off for a second. Hold that thought because our guest is calling.
Oh, yay.
I don't want to keep him waiting too long. So
let's do it.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this David?
Yes, hi, good morning.
Hi, David Heath, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in. You're going to hear some noise in the background, which is a fire alarm that started going off here. Thankfully, it's not too loud, so we're continuing the show. But
and risking our lives to talk to
Sam?
You.
Yeah, this is Sam, and I have Lauren here
hi.
As well.
And I'm
hi.
Lauren. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, Lauren.
Over the phone.
Hi.
Telephonically speaking.
Yeah. So, David Heath, thank you. Where are you calling us from this morning?
Huntington Beach.
Oh, you're in Huntington Beach here. That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Now, from what I understand, you travel a lot, right?
I'm afraid I'm addicted, yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. I bet you've been in many places in the world, huh?
Yes.
But
I feel like, you know, I still have a long way to go.
Oh, yeah, really?
That's what he said. He said he feels like he's just like touching the tip of it all because. But it seems like you've gone to a lot of different places, but specifically you like the Myanmar. Am I saying that correctly? Old Burma area.
Myanmar.
You've been there like more times than other places. It seems to me correct.
Well, yeah, I'm afraid I've developed a love affair with that place and the people and the culture. And so, yeah, I'm leaving again in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It'll be my 12th trip.
Oh, my
really?
Gosh.
Where are you going this time?
I'm actually going back because I'm building a school there. So we're, you know, there's quite a few things to do. We're going to go check out the site and all that. It's in kind of a remote area.
Wow.
Nice.
So it's not really a photo trip this time. It's more of a, you know, working trip.
How do you build a school? I'm sorry if that's a broad question, but how do you build a school somewhere?
Yeah. Well,
I'll let you know when I get back.
You're like, I don't know.
For me.
Jeez, that's an awesome thing to do. Great thing to check off your life bucket list, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you probably developed a connection with the people in the places that you go, huh?
Well, I do, but especially in, you know, in Myanmar, it's, you know, many people still call it Burma. I like calling it Burma, but I'm trying to get in the habit of calling it Myanmar more because that's, you know, the official name of the country. That's what the government wants it to be known as. And so, you know, I was drawn to it because of its remoteness and this pristine Buddhist culture. But yeah, I ended up falling in love with these beautiful people. I mean, just the most resilient, compassionate, friendly, generous, humorous, you know, friendly, just amazing, hardworking people.
Right.
And I've learned so much from them, you know, about being present and the joy of being with them. And so it's kind of funny. I went there as more of a landscape nature photographer and ended up, you know, becoming like a portrait photographer because of that.
I know I have to jump in because you're speaking about the people and your photos are beautiful. And I was obviously looking through your website and looking through all the photos in the book that you're talking about. But the pictures of the people is what really caught my eye. And maybe that's because you, as the photographer and the artist behind the photos, are really connecting with these people. And so it's coming through in the photo. But they're like they're striking.
Yes.
I mean, the landscape photos are beautiful, too. But it's the people that really jumped out to me.
Yeah, same here. That's why I ended up, you know, being so drawn and falling in love with that country.
Yeah. Now, everybody who's listening, you can follow us and see some of David's pictures and his book, which we're going to talk about in a minute. The website is heathstudios.com, and you guys can check it out. We're talking to David Heath. So it looks like your destinations of choice are Asia and Africa mostly.
Yeah, I guess it would seem that way, but, you know, I love South America too. You know, I love Peru and Ecuador and, you know, parts of Central America, and, you know, been through Europe. I really enjoy Norway, Italy, Spain. Those seem to be the main areas. Yeah, I love Southeast Asia and Indonesia, whole area down there.
Yeah, I loved your photos in Indonesia. I've been there before once, and you captured it beautiful. There's so many beautiful temples there, and you took beautiful photos of those too.
Did you go to Borobudur in Java? Did you go there?
No, I don't think so. And I know this is going to sound bad, but I don't remember specifically, just because there were a bunch of places. But I know I was in Ubud and obviously Kuta Beach area. In Bali, and there was some areas in between those geographically that I'm not remembering the names of, but I was with someone who had been there before, so they were kind of taking us around. But I mean, it's a really beautiful place, and
there's only 18,000 islands, you know.
It's like, hello. I mean, yeah, I was in the Bali specifically area, but yeah, I mean, your photos of the temples are gorgeous.
Yeah, it seems like there's so much culture in Asia, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. I've never been, and that's one destination I'd like to go is check out some of these places.
Me too.
So, David, you released a book called Burma, An Enchanted Spirit. Is this a new book that just came out?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, congratulations to you. How long did it take you to put together this book?
Well, it took 5 years and about 8 trips.
Wow.
To Burma.
Yeah, so that's quite a project you took on there.
Yeah, and luckily I have an amazing guide. He's probably one of the best guides and photographers in Burma, and we've become really close, like brothers, and we've set out on this journey and this quest to create an international quality book, and it's been just an amazing experience with him. And so much to see there, you know. There's 135 different tribes in that country.
Wow.
Which is, you know, the place is about the size of Texas, so there's a lot to see. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's a lot in one area. But this guide you're speaking of, so I didn't know, I read some background on you, but I didn't know that he was a photographer as well. So that's actually
amazing,
awesome for you. Okay, so then that means he must have really, like, pushed you and helped you or guided you or whatever in some way, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yes, we do that for each other because, you know, we both kind of have an artistic sense, and I'm more of an artist than a photographer. I'm an artist first, photographer second. And, mm-hmm. But yeah, we really push each other to get book shots. You know, we were pretty hard on each other. If they're not, you know, we just, our little thing was book shots, right? If it's not a book shot, don't even bother showing me.
Wow. Yeah. So you went for it.
yeah, we really pushed each other and raised the bar to get these shots.
Right. Now, so how do you get around, like, with language and stuff? Is that something the guide helps you as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because I imagine, I mean, there's so many different languages that you couldn't possibly learn all of them while you're there. So
yeah, I wish I could speak Burmese, but it's I don't know how yet. Just a few words.
Yeah. So it's interesting to spend a lot of time there and, you know, and still have to not really be able to communicate. And I imagine also you go to these remote places, they probably never heard a word of English before.
You know, that's true, but it's strange, you know, when you have this kind of love for a place. You know, there is a language spoken. You know, it's that love language, and your smile and humor and joking around and they can feel it. You know, and I can feel it too. And if you have that kind of energy and love towards a place and people, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that we're able to capture the essence of them and their true feelings. You know, you can see it in their eyes, I think, like you're saying, Laura, on the photographs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you don't need the words. Yeah, that it definitely translates.
You don't need any words, exactly, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine there's probably not, you don't retouch your photos too much, right?
No, I don't use Photoshop. I use a program called Lightroom.
Right.
And a lot of times when you download your images now, they can be a little, you know, dull, maybe a little dark, this right. and that. So I just want to make sure the contrast and the colors and the blacks and whites and everything
yeah.
pop the way that I saw them in person.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah.
that's what I try and do. And then I play with a few of them, make them black and white with maybe a little color accent, like yeah, a red robe of a monk.
Yeah, I saw that one with that monk walking through that, like, mm-hmm. corridor.
Shield, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And, yeah, and that's what I meant. You know, I mean, obviously, to fix exposure and lighting and all that stuff, you do need something. But, I mean, just the colors and the framing of the pictures, obviously, the things that a photographer yeah. really
no
pays attention to.
No, nothing added.
Exactly.
I
like
think
that.
You can
Correct.
Tell, too, don't you think, Sam, looking yeah. at his photos, they're not really manipulated. I mean,
right.
those are, like, just beautiful photos that he captured with great lighting and beautiful background. And
right, right.
You know.
And there's...
By the way, all natural lighting, you guys.
Crazy.
No artificial light. It was all just natural Burmese light.
That's crazy to think about, that you can see that. Because mm-hmm. that it's almost like you. That's an artist's eye. Like, someone else might not look at that and see it the same way. But
yeah.
you see it, and then you think, okay, now I need to capture this. And then I don't know a lot about photography, but you got to frame it right, and right. you got to get someone just at the right moment. You took a photo with someone. I forget which section it was on your website, but there was an umbrella in the bottom, like, left corner or right corner.
Mm.
And I was like, how
yeah.
did he know to take the photo? Because it was like people walking down the street, and
uh-huh.
this one person had this umbrella in this bottom right corner. I was like, that just made the photo right there. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's just being a weird artist, you know. But I'll tell you, it's being a photographer, an artist, and a traveler is such a wonderful combination, because you just see everything. You feel everything. You see all the shadows and the light and the colors and the patterns
right.
and textures. You know, you're so much more aware, and, of course, all your senses are on full alert, so you're really present, you know, when you travel, and especially as an artist. So that's one of the things I love about it.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been a photographer now, David? Is this something you've done all your life?
Well, I've been an artist all my life, but I really didn't start photography till like probably 20, 25 years ago, something like that.
I see.
And just kind of doing it for fun. But I've always been a bit of an adventure traveler, so, you know, it's kind of nice to have that. And then probably the last 10 years, I've really been focusing on doing something with it, you know, and creating a second career.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your photographs look like paintings, some of them, you know. They're mm-hmm. that great. And that's probably your art background as well, where you're mm-hmm. able to see that, you know.
What is your background in art, David? Because you had, like, a complete different profession than photography before, correct?
Yeah, I was in the environmental business, you know,
right.
doing marketing for environmental cleanup firms,
okay.
you know. So I was in that industry.
But then artistically, what besides photography, what did you do before?
Painted and sketched, you know,
okay.
kinds of sketches, paintings.
Very cool. Now, I did want to ask you, I'm curious, with this kind of a lifestyle where you travel a lot and things like that, are you able to form a family? Like
No,
it's hard, right?
I mean, that's the trade-off right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if I'm not going to have a family and a wife and kids, then I better be doing something, right?
Right.
I'd be doing something with my time. So
there you go.
That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Either step it up and make something happen and do something significant, or, you know.
Yeah. No, I salute you for this. I mean,
yeah.
you know, you go after your dreams, you know. We only give one lifetime.
That's right.
And it doesn't mean you have to live the way everybody else does, you know. I mean,
everyone has love to give, and some people choose to give it to other things. Clearly, he's giving it to
right.
his art and his
And he loves the people
it.
That
yeah.
he meets as well.
And now building a school? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's a sacrifice, because I miss the other, you know.
Yeah.
And I have many friends that are married and have kids, and luckily I'm close with them, so I can share it with them, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's a trade-off, like I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Well, everybody, go out and get the book, Burma, An Enchanted Spirit. You guys can find it on the website heathstudios.com. And you can find all of David Heath's work and stuff. I mean, amazing, amazing stuff. You even have fine art prints and everything else. You guys should definitely check it out if you're big fans of photography and art and so forth. I mean, The pictures really are breathtaking.
They're gorgeous. You can see it on the website.
Thank you guys. Yeah. Hopefully you can go sometime.
Yeah.
I'd love to.
The doors are open now, and I know the tourist influx has begun, so it's really an incredible place
to be our guide.
Yeah, there you go. You know, now you made me curious about this, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to meet you guys sometime soon.
Yes, hopefully if you're back in town. I know you're traveling a lot and very busy, but if you're ever back in town, we'd love to have you in the studio and actually, you know, get more on your background and actually see the book in person. So, David, thank you so much for calling. So, where's your next trip now? You're going back to Asia?
Well, I'm going back in 2 weeks to Myanmar, you know, for the
right.
school thing.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah,
and
I'll
see
be focusing on that.
Yeah, I also noticed a percentage of the sales from the book are going to go into the development of the school. So that's
more
very
reason
noble
to go out
of you.
And buy it, everybody.
Yeah, go out and get it—a great coffee table book. You won't regret it.
Mother's Day gift.
There you go.
That's great, thank you, guys.
David, thank you very much. All the best to you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Safe travels.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
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 Wow. You know, I mean, there you go. You know, people that go after their dreams make sacrifices.
I know.
That's a big sacrifice.
That was a good question. I was wondering about that myself.
Yeah.
And you always think you want to have it all, but sometimes maybe he seems so focused and so dedicated. And I'm not saying you can't give love to different aspects of your life, but he seems like he's giving it all to this and he loves it there so much. And that's what's going to make a good end product for an artist, I think, just to be in it to win it.
That's true, you know. And the thing is, not everybody has to subscribe to the get married, have kids type of thing, you know. I mean, many people have different dreams.
I know.
And they don't necessarily have to have the dream that society shoves in them. In
exactly.
Their face,
it
you
doesn't
know?
Mean you're a failure if you don't,
right.
you know.
By any means, you know, if
not
you have good friends and good primary family and stuff, then I don't see any problem at all.
I agree. And I always say, we always talk about this. We talk about relationships on the show a lot. And we talk about, you know, Jen and I are always like, we want boyfriends or we want to be in a relationship. But like, I was just telling my mom the other day, it's like, I'm having so much fun right now. Like, that's what I want. But I'm like, how do I... Yeah. I don't know if I really, like, I want to have kids, but do I really want to have kids?
You're not sure, huh?
I mean, I do, and I know I will, and I feel like if I meet someone that I really love, that will make me want to have kids with that person. But I'm like, I know, I worked in childcare for a really long time, and Sam, you've been a dad. You know the kind of work it takes. It's not like...
It does take a lot of work. It changes your life forever.
It's like...
Oh. And that's what I'm saying. You have to be prepared for it. Because, once that baby pops out, your life has changed.
Forever.
You know, and you have to think about that. And, you know,
I think
it does.
People don't think about that.
No, some people don't. You know, they just get pregnant and then later they're like, why did we do this?
Yeah.
You know, and then they're stuck with a kid and it manifests itself in bad parenting.
Totally.
And, you know, bad education and so forth.
I agree.
You know, I mean, I know people that look at their kids as though they're obstacles, and that's very sad.
Well, that's sad if you go into it for the wrong reasons or whatever. But to me, it's so funny that you have to jump through all these loopholes to like adopt a dog from a shelter. But anybody could go out and have a baby.
Yeah.
It's like, that's freaking scary.
I know.
Obviously, there's no way to monitor if you're going to have a baby or not. But I'm just saying it's just weird to think about the responsibility that goes along with it and how irresponsible people are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, some people just, you know, they have different ideas of how things should be, you know.
I think if you feel like, you know, like you're a David and you just want to, you know, you rather focus and love other things and you don't have to fall into that societal myth of like getting married and having babies, then, you know, you shouldn't just go with the flow because everyone else is doing it, because then that's what happens. You have kids that you don't want or you're not happy or whatever.
Right.
You should just follow your dreams, everyone.
Exactly. You know, I mean, if everybody married and had kids, the world wouldn't be as advanced as it is today, you know?
And you don't even have to, like, do it in that order either. There's also, you could also just, you know, if you fall in love with someone and have a baby, you don't have to get married.
Right.
Or you can get married and not ever have kids. Whatever.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. You know, but, and you know, I mean, he's bringing beauty to people, yeah. You know. There's, I think that's pretty cool.
I do, too.
You know, so everybody that puts work, hard work into what they do is commendable in my book.
I agree.
You know, I don't like people that sit around and wait for things to come to them.
Yeah.
Because they're virtually dead, you know.
Exactly.
They're not really growing.
You have to have ambition and be inspired by something.
Yeah.
You know?
True. So how's your weekend looking so far? You have an exciting weekend plans? I know your mom's here in town.
Here.
So you guys going to do Mother's Day?
Yes, we're going to go to brunch for Mother's Day.
Okay.
We've been just gallivanting around town like normal. I have a lot more free time in my schedule these days. So
nice.
I have been able to just kind of go here and go there with her. I mean, she's from the Bay Area, so it's not like she's coming from far and she
right.
comes here
so she's
often.
Been here many times.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, but you know, it's kind of like you just go through the everyday fun stuff, shopping, eat, you know.
Yeah. Cool. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have a brother.
Uh-huh.
He's in the Bay Area.
Oh, he still lives up there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool. Is he older, younger than you?
He's older.
Uh-huh.
And he works for like a medical sales device company. So he sells like shoulders, hips, and knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know this until he was like a year into his job. So, you know, he goes to the doctors and says, like, if you're doing a knee or hip replacement, use our knee and hip because of it's this. Then we use these screws. And what I don't
right.
even know what I'm saying right now. Something they're better than the other people. So buy ours. So I didn't know this. I thought he just did that. He scrubs in on the surgeries and, like, helps the doctor
wow.
implant the I'm like,
oh
I'm
God.
Sorry. Why are you in the room with the doctor? He's like, because I'm the expert on the device. I'm like, that freaks me out.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, we have to be there because if I guess there's certain types of screws or there's other parts that are interchangeable. So if something, because obviously every human is different.
Right.
So when you get in there, sometimes it's not just going to fit like a puzzle piece.
Mm.
So they have to kind of maneuver and manipulate. And
right.
my brother is the expert on the device, the part.
Right.
And how it moves and how it connects and where the joint goes and all, which is crazy to think about. So
yeah, it
in
is.
There doing that. I'm like,
wow.
Wow.
Did he have to go to medical school?
No.
So this is a sales position, but he has to really
yes.
know about this.
I mean, had to work with like cadavers and stuff like that, but
oh my God.
Not, well,
yeah.
I guess to see how the part
exactly.
goes in and all of that.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, that's what's crazy to me about it. I'm like, so uh-huh. you're so what you're saying is you're helping the doctor with the surgery. He's
right.
like, well, yeah, I mean, obviously there's the anesthesiologist and the surgeon and whatever, but he's the device specialist, so he has to be there.
Oh, wow.
And you'd be surprised about some of the things I hear.
That he sees, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scary.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
There's a long, like a big learning curve too. Like he said that it took him forever to feel comfortable. Like not, because I'm like, that's a really stressful job,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like in the surgeries, and some of them are trauma related surgeries
right.
because like it's like a 20-year-old on a bike that crashed and his leg is shattered and they've got to get in there and save the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like some of them are scheduled hip replacements and some of them are trauma. So it's like that's scary. And
yeah.
he's on call sometimes and he has to go into the surgery. And he said it takes a really long time for you to not be like stressed out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because I
yeah.
would be like, oh, my God, this person's going to die. And I just too much for me.
Yeah.
I can't deal with that. Certain type of person for a certain type of job.
Yeah.
I like to talk. That's what I'm good
there
at.
There you go. You don't need to replace hips and shoulders.
No, I'm good. I'll just talk about it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my wheelhouse.
So you guys just going to go around? Do you go shopping and stuff when
yeah,
your mom's in
go,
town?
Yeah, shopping's my favorite pastime.
Well, I'm sure. You're a girl.
I'm very
right?
good at it. Yeah. I honestly could do it for hours, Sam.
Really?
Like, really for hours.
Wow.
Like, I could be at a mall for, like, 5 hours and be
really?
Like, oh, God, I got to get home soon.
Yeah.
Like, I could keep going, especially if the mall's big, like Topanga Canyon Mall.
Right.
That mall has everything. It has,
right.
like, every department store ever. It's Nordstrom, Neiman, Saks. It's, like, too much.
Right.
You can't. And then you go somewhere and you're like, oh, I didn't find what I wanted. They'll have it. Oh, what about this store? What about that store? That's why it takes so long.
Yeah. No, that's true. And, I mean, you know, I just go into one store and I get impatient. And, but for you guys, it's actually enjoyable. comfortable. I mean, it's something that you want to do. Yeah,
you have a coffee and you sip your coffee while you're trying shoes on.
Right. That's why most stores are geared towards women, you know, because men don't really buy clothes.
No, I know some men that like to buy clothes, but yes,
I do. Like
speaking,
I do. I do. But sometimes, you know, if I'm in a relationship or something, she'll probably buy me clothes before I go.
Oh, I would love to do that. Yeah. I can't wait to get a boyfriend and just buy the crap dress out of clothes
up, right?
for him with his credit card.
Yeah, dress him up like a Ken doll or something.
I love it. Oh, that's my favorite thing to do ever. Like, oh, that looks so cute on you. I'm not in a relationship with a particular guy, but I see some men in my life right now.
Right.
And there's one who is very into fashion. And he was going to something last night. And he said, I'm not going to have a lot of time when I get home. I'm stuck in traffic. And I really need to get home and, like, put an outfit on. I'm like, this is what you should wear. And I was, like, styling him through the phone. And I'm like, send me a picture after you get dressed. And he sent me a picture. And he looked really cute.
Oh, wow.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Then maybe that's what you should start doing. Do, like, makeovers for people.
Styling people.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people doing this. In fact, we had a guest on the show who is... I met her at the Great Love Debate, and she's a makeover specialist and dating and things like that.
She revamps your life.
Right. You know, so maybe if you're good at it, try it.
I mean, I think I'm good to a point. I don't think that there's so many stylists here. I know a couple of them that are real stylists.
So what? But you can be one, too.
I feel like they're just much better at that I would be. But Jen, I like to style. Like, Jen always makes me style her.
Really?
She's like, dress me, please. I don't know what to wear. Jen always says I'm like a boy.
Yeah.
That's what I don't really think she is, but she says she is.
Yeah, she feels like tomboyish and stuff. Yeah. I know. Maybe because of her voice, but also because she said that.
You know? Oh my God, Jen, I hope you're listening.
She said it, not me.
Oh my God. Muppet.
There you go.
She does have a raspy voice.
Yeah. No, I mean, I find her to be very feminine, but I see what
totally
she means.
Is.
I see what she means, though. You know,
she
does have, like, you know, personality more.
She's
a tough personality.
I think she is for two. I think there's I think generally speaking, again, we always say this, there's, you know, men are one way and women are another. I think men are like a little less emotional generally,
right,
and more like fix it.
Right.
And that
right.
Jen, that when there's a problem, that's what she does. And
she wants to fix it.
She wants to, she's just like, then do this.
Right.
And it's like, no, don't tell me what to, I need
right.
to, like, I want to talk about it and maybe cry for a second. And she's like, ugh, I don't have time for this. Trying to cut down. You know how she always says that.
Wow. So that's definitely like male behavior.
Totally.
Because
like
women want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And the man is like, you know, I don't want to listen right now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, conversely, the man wants to fix things.
Totally.
And you just want to be heard.
Jen is,
you know, so when somebody tells you what to do or how to fix it, it's as though they're minimizing what you're saying. You know, it's like, let me fix it for you.
Totally.
It's that simple.
I think that's how it feels with men sometimes or whatever, but I know that's probably not the intent. It's just
right,
how
exactly.
it comes out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the big misunderstanding between
totally.
Men and women.
That's where those unspoken problems
men from
start.
Mars and,
totally.
Right?
And then the tension, and it's like, you know, the girl shuts down and the guy's like, are you okay? I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've heard
you're
that
fine.
Before. I'm fine. Yeah. That means
I know a woman
screw
that, never runs out of things to say, suddenly she's silent.
That's when you know I am pissed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And I just don't say anything. Is everything fine? Yep.
Yeah.
So it's fine. And then I'm like, shut my lips. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think it's mostly because Jen doesn't really show a lot of emotion or something, right?
It is, too.
Maybe she's when she's with you. But I think on the outside...
she has moments where it will come out. Like, she'll be like, she'll go do something and be like, oh, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, like 2 hours later, she's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like with a guy, I don't know why, what's happening? Why are they not? Why is this? And I'm like, oh, here we go. It's happening. She has
like
her moments. And she does like, she also says too, like, oh, I feel like I can't do my hair or put my makeup on right. And then she does though, but she doesn't think that she does. So then she's always asking me how to do it. I'm like, she'll come over and before we shoot our show, Two Drunk Girls, and she'll be like, oh, my makeup looks so bad. And I look at her, I'm like, no, it doesn't. She's like, oh, okay. And then she's fine. She just needs a little reassurance, but it never does look bad. I'm like, what are you? She's funny. She just thinks she doesn't have the means, but she does.
Yeah. Cool. So that's the thing. I mean, so you're saying you're dating, so it's not like you're desperate for somebody,
no,
right?
I'm not.
That's
I
what
mean,
I'm saying. Just let it. Just let it happen. You
I know
something's
you're right.
gonna.
I am letting it happen now, and I've actually feel like I've been having a lot more fun these past couple months. Whereas before, it felt like I was like trying to
Yeah.
I think it helps that I have more time in my life now than I ever used to. And I'm, you know, my profession for 10 plus years was taking care of other people's lives, taking care of their children or their homes or their errands or their whatevers.
Right.
And now I'm not doing that. I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
For the first time in a really long time.
There you go.
And I think that's why I feel good about
the situation,
why I'm okay with, I do want this eventually, but I'm fine in the moment.
Right. But I know that women mostly want to be with just one guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And for sure.
So that's why, and you've probably been dating for a while, right? When was your last relationship? Was that a bad question?
No, it was just a long, like, serious relationship that mounted into, like, years on end.
Like one guy. I mean, just...
Like
not dating.
8 years ago.
Really?
But
okay.
But I've been with guys for like months at a time
since
then.
Right.
But not like a serious, like, I love you, we're in love, I know your family. Like, that was a long time ago for me.
Right. And did that happen in L.A. or was that somewhere else? That was in New York,
that
maybe?
That happened in the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area.
I graduated from college and I moved home and I met this guy and he was great. And... I was young, and so was he.
Yeah.
And we dated there for a little bit. We were probably together for over a year, maybe two, when I moved to L.A., and he was still in the Bay Area. Then that happened for a little bit, and then he moved to New York.
I see.
And then that's where it kind of dissolved. But that was after, like, 4+ years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you were young, yeah. I mean, that was too soon.
I was young. I think that I thought that I was going to marry him, and it probably... I just know now, looking back on it, I would have had to give up everything that I ever wanted to do to be with him.
Yeah.
And I probably would have, but I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know that it would have been like the worst decision ever. It would have been a totally different life.
That's true.
And
that's
who knows?
True. And you don't know how it would have turned out.
I don't know how it would have turned out.
But you definitely want to find someone who will support your ambitions, you know, your
totally.
Career, whatever,
yeah.
you know.
He was like going into the medical school field. So
the
fact that that was so much bigger than what I was doing was meant that I was just going to follow him, I think.
Right,
at the time.
Exactly.
Now I think I'm doing bigger things that I'm now.
And you probably wouldn't have seen him a lot, you know. I mean, people in the medical industry, they're constantly
working. My mom always
said
that too, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like,
because your brother probably works all the time, right?
My brother works a lot too. Yeah. I mean, and he's, exactly, he works a lot and he's not even an actual doctor. So you can imagine. Yes.
Right.
Good example.
Wow.
But
I know. It's like, you know, women are like, they fantasize about marrying a doctor. Then they never see him. They have all the money in the world, but they don't see their husband. So they probably go and spend all their money shopping and stuff, you know.
I'll just marry somebody that plays a doctor on TV.
Yeah, there you go. Or play doctor as a kid.
With their friends. There you went.
Yeah, well, I used to, you know.
I'm sure you did.
I think most kids do.
I don't think I ever did, but you're a boy.
Yeah, because you didn't have a boy that talked you into it, probably.
I would have been like, what the hell are you doing? I'm not playing no doctor with you. I'm playing Barbies.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
I was really into Barbies.
Really?
Super into Barbies.
Yeah. I know, they're cute.
They were my favorite. I just thought they were so pretty. I always just wanted to be like a Barbie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. You see, and that's probably where you got your wanting to style people.
My insecurities, too, because I don't have a 12-inch waist. Shit. Damn Barbie.
All right.
Sam,
well,
wait, though. You're talked about our weekend really quick. You're like in big preparation mode right now for your big...
Well, not necessarily. I'm just hoping somebody will do something for me. I don't make plans, you know, so I just kind of go by ear, so... Yeah.
We got to throw a birthday party for Sam.
I know. Well, we're thinking about it, actually. This weekend is not a good time, but we'll probably throw a party here at the station.
We should
like
do that.
Like I have before.
You have a lot happening this weekend.
Yeah.
Your parents are coming. It's Mother's Day. So
yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You can do a little something on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then you have like a big, you make it like a couple week long celebration.
Exactly. And we'll probably do a, because I'm thinking of a party maybe next week or the week after or something.
You have to wait for the other drunk girl to arrive.
Exactly.
Jen has to be here.
Exactly. And you're totally invited, of course.
Of course.
And all your friends and everybody's invited. Party. The whole world is invited.
The whole world. Everyone listening, come.
There you go.
All of you. Sam likes a big group of people.
Yes, I do.
He doesn't know anybody.
I love people, though. Yeah, exactly.
And then he retreats.
I love it when I know them.
And everyone's here for you. It's a different story, though.
Exactly. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for listening. Lauren, thank you so much for spending the time.
Of course.
Monday, we're not going to be live because my parents are arriving at 6 in the morning, and I'll never be able to make it here
on time.
That's
just not realistic.
Yeah. So
we stayed with you through the fire alarm today. That's all you
There you
get
go.
Out of
you
us.
See? Yeah. I mean, we're dedicated to what we do.
We are.
I mean, even Jen so much that she made sure her place was filled she's gone. And she sent her best friend and having a blast, right?
Stealing her job right from under her.
There you go. That's what friends are for. All right. And on that note, have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.